The Call of the Kimberleys, A Life Well Loved. Written and narrated by Jocelyn Doran. Recorded and produced at Brisbane Audio Book Production. Part 1, Chapter 1, My Life Begins. December the 24th, 1941, was a memorable day for my mother and me, mainly because we both nearly died on that day, and also because it was the day I was born. Only recently did I find out that I had been an emergency caesarean, which had terrified my mother and resulted in my being 6 weeks premature. My sister June remembers Mum standing in a pool of blood before she was whisked off in an ambulance to hospital for the operation. This method of arriving in the world didn't exactly endear me to my mother, as she didn't want any more children. I was the fourth, and if it was necessary to have another baby, she would have much preferred a boy. I didn't fit either of those descriptions, so I started off behind the eight ball in our relationship, which, to say the least, totally lacked any motherly love. Despite this early setback, I remember her now with admiration for the way she coped with a life that was quite often fairly traumatic. As I grew older, my feelings towards her changed to sympathy and compassion for the muddled marriage she was trapped in and her inability to cope with having four children in 5 years. June was born in 1936, Molly in 1939, Roger in 1940, and then I brought up the rear in 1941, a very rapid expansion of the family. I was lucky, though, to have a loving aunt and a doting father, so I look back on my childhood as being a happy one, aided by an enduring love of horses and dogs. Mum had plenty of help from two of her sisters who were living with us at the time, and this should have been able to alleviate the situation. But owing to the conflict between them and Dad, I think they were more of a hindrance than a help. Mum had a lady who did the washing and ironing, and at least two of the maids who were employed to help were named Hazel. They also had a lovely lady, Mrs. Gray, who lived in self-contained quarters down the back of our place and who was employed to cook the evening meal. She eventually left us as she said she was getting too attached to the children, and I don't think she was replaced. I remember feeling very sad at the prospect of her departure. One incident that occurred with Mrs. Gray, we were coming home about dinner time from a family outing, and as we drove down the drive, there was a loud explosion. We walked into the kitchen to find our dinner of peas, pumpkin, cabbage and potato splattered all over the ceiling. Mrs. Gray had omitted to put the pressure cooker lid on securely, and it had literally blown its top. Needless to say, dinner was boiled eggs that night. Dad went out of his way to give us four children a wonderful life, but owing to the fact that two of Mum's sisters were sharing our home in the lovely North Shore suburb of Gordon, there was always conflict. Despite the fact that Mum and Dad both shared a love of travelling and outdoor life, they argued over the rearing of the children, and of course the aunts always took their sister's side, whether she was right or wrong, so it was a very conflicted time for Dad. Fortunately, he often prevailed. So instead of our being wrapped in cotton wool, as the female members of the family would have had it, we had a free and exciting childhood. For this, I am forever grateful to Dad. Though my childhood was a happy one, the memories of constant fights between my parents will stay with me forever. They really were totally incompatible and should never have married, but Mum was a product of a wartime shortage of men and probably didn't want to be left on the shelf as her sisters were. Dad had worshipped Mum from an early age. They were childhood sweethearts, having met at Chatswood Primary School. As far as I know, neither of them ever went out with anyone else. They finally married in 1932, but I don't think there was ever a great deal of happiness. Dad's happiness emanated from his children, all of whom he loved very much. Poor Mum, I don't think she really had much happiness until later in her life. It is interesting that, though they married in 1932, the first child, June, was not born until 1936, followed by my siblings Molly and Roger until I managed to bring the process to an end. Chapter 2. My Family. My father was born in 1906, and he never got over the loss of his father from bowel cancer when Dad was 18. The family had followed the Christian Science Manifesto, with the result that the necessary medical intervention that might have saved his life was not allowed. Dad never followed the faith again and continued to visit his father's grave on the anniversary of his death until
Sample complete. Ready to continue?